Hey friends, Katie here, and today's episode is an important and also timely one. It is a conversation about resilience as small business owners and what we can do or how we navigate things when we are backed into a corner by forces outside of our control. My guest today is Emily Lay. She is the founder of Simplified, a wildly successful brand of planners and organizational tools that many of you know and love. She also happens to be one of our PaperCamp alumni. You have seen Emily's products in Target, Walmart, Staples, and independent boutiques worldwide. But behind the scenes, like so many product-based business owners, Emily has been navigating massive shifts in things like the global supply chain, rising costs, and now devastating tariffs. Her company has paid more than $1.17 million in tariffs since 2017. And with the newly announced 150% tariffs as they stand as of recording this today, she is facing over $1 million more in fees this year alone. And Emily is not staying quiet. Earlier this month, she filed a federal lawsuit against the Trump administration, the first legal challenge to these unlawful tariffs. And she's doing it with support of the new Civil Liberties Alliance. And this is a huge moment, not just for her brand Simplified, but for every small business owner who relies on international manufacturing to keep their products on the shelves of stores and their teams paid. Now, in this episode, Emily and I talk through her journey from launching Simplified in 2008 to finding the right manufacturing partners and ultimately to becoming an unlikely but powerful advocate in the fight against these trade policies. We also talk about the emotional toll that this takes, the behind-the-scenes fears and tough decisions, the support from her customers and community, and the risks that were involved in her taking a stand. Again, not just for her business, but for all of ours. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I want to say that if you are a product-based business owner and you're listening today and you are feeling the weight of these new tariffs, you are not alone. Inside of our labs community, we have been having real, honest conversations about how to navigate this, everything from raising prices to pausing production to exploring new manufacturing options. If you need support or strategy or just a sounding board from people who truly understand what you're going through, Labs is here to help. You can learn more at prooftoproduct.com/labs. That's prooftoproduct.com/labs. All right, let's get into it. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Emily, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's been a while.
I know, it is so good to reconnect with you, although I do wish it was under different circumstances, but how are you?
I'm really good. I'm really tired, but I'm really good.
I bet. We have so much to talk about today. I want to start though. I'm sure that many of our listeners are familiar with your brand Simplified, but for those that aren't, let's start there. Tell us about Simplified and what prompted you to start your planner business back in 2008.
Yeah. Well, yes, I got started in 2008. And I started in my guest room, as many of us do, with a little bit of a hobby. The wedding invitations I really wanted when Brian and I got married, I couldn't afford them. I wanted Crane. Oh, I forget. We're talking to people who know. Usually when I tell this story, I'm like, it's a brand called Crane. No, everyone here
right. Wants. People listening probably know.
It is the end all be all of the nicest paper. And that's what I really wanted for our wedding invitations, but we could not afford them. And so I basically scrapbooked my wedding invitations. I should pull them out. You would die if you saw them. They're like black and pink and filigree and very 2008. Anyway, I loved doing that. And I was like, well, there's this new platform called Etsy. And I wonder if I could just make stationery and sell it. That would be fun. And I had a paper cutter. So as one does, I just was like, well, let's see what happens. It really kind of took off. Social media was new. And I was sharing like the behind the scenes backstory of being a person who decided to start her own company. And that wasn't really a thing. It was becoming a thing, but it wasn't really a thing back then. I worked full-time at USF in a women in leadership program and just bootstrapped the business in the middle of the night. Didn't take a paycheck for a few years so I could put everything back into it. And then eventually went full-time. And in 2011, when my son was born, I found myself completely overwhelmed trying to manage all the things and went to Target to find a solution for that, as one does. And all the binders and organizers and things I could find had a lot of bells and whistles. And I was just like, I'm already overwhelmed. Like, I don't want to track how much water I didn't drink today or how much I blew my budget. I don't want to do that. So I went home and with all my paper skills was like, what if I just had something that managed my to-do list and my schedule and called it Simplify? It was a simplified planner. And then I was so excited about it and using it on my own. I was like, maybe I can make it. And then decided to do that and made our first planners in 2012, I think it was. And it just took off like crazy. And then fast forward, it feels like I've lived four lifetimes since then, but it has actually only been about 13 years since 2012. And now I employ 9 women, myself included. I've written 12 books. I write a Substack. We're in Target, Walmart, all the big stores, and then we sell online. And it has become a really big and cool thing that I never thought would become that.
It's incredible. I was telling my advisory board mastermind that, like, you and I came up in this industry together. Yeah. I remember us on Twitter before Instagram was around. Like,
yes.
How are we doing this? Where are we sourcing this?
How are we doing this? And then we met up at the stationery show
yep.
in New York. And, like, we had no idea. I mean, I don't know about you. I had no idea what I was doing.
No, we were figuring it out as we went.
How did we put up walls and yes. sell sale? And, oh, geez, that feels like a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. It was. Okay, well, let's talk about you made your first planners here in the U.S.
I did.
And you were using different manufacturers, testing a lot of different things. How soon after starting did you look for overseas manufacturing and kind of what led to that decision for you?
The first planners, I made them here in the United States, and they cost me $38 to make. And because we're talking to people here who understand like production and materials, they were like, it's laminated and it had like a white spiral binding. And it looked like I printed it off at Office Depot. Like that was the only capabilities anybody here had.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, $38 to make. We sold them for $50. And you know, all the other overhead things involved in running a business, that was not profitable. But I knew like if the demand was there, then I would have options, right?
Yeah.
Suffice it to say, planner people on here will love this. They started, you know, it was like January through December planner. I got them in February.
Oh,
I'm a month late. I mean, talk about wanting to die. Anyway, whole other story there. So then when I knew the demand was there, I started looking elsewhere in the United States, couldn't find it, and then went on a website that, well, let me back up. A lot of the manufacturers here were like, you're going to have to go overseas. Like, you want to do something that's never been done before. It was the first of its kind. They were like, you want hardcover, gold corners, gold binding, stickers, pockets. You're going to have to go overseas for that to even make it profitable.
Right.
So I went to a website where you can find manufacturers overseas, started emailing, just cold emailing a bunch of them. And every single one wrote back and said, are you missing a zero from your quantity? Because all I had was enough money to make 500 and we're debt-free. Like we've run it debt-free since the beginning. So I was like, no, that's all the money I have. And found a guy who had a factory there with amazing like qualifications and certifications and all that. And he was like, I think you're onto something. I want to help you out and I'm going to take a chance on you. And thank God he did because that was my first batch and we were able to make them at about 25% of what we sell them for retail, you know, so that then we
yeah.
50% wholesale and all that. And it was amazing. And his name's Joe, or that's his English name. And we're still in touch. We don't print there anymore. We kind of outgrew what he had and went on to others, but now we make hundreds of different SKUs and work with 2 different facilities in China, and they're amazing.
That's incredible. I know that finding the right manufacturers that can match the quality that you want and the timing you want, that process can take a while. You got to kind of kiss a lot of frogs before you find the right prints, right?
Listen, by the time this airs, this will be out, and I can say this here now. Wednesday, tomorrow, I have a big story running on CBS Morning. They came down and like interviewed and we talked a lot about this. Like people don't understand that it is a full-time job to find a manufacturer that you can communicate with well. I mean, I held like older planners of ours in talking to this reporter. And I was like, the amount of hours of time I spent getting this paper just right, like no ghosting, the right shade of white, the, yes. you know, sourced from the right places to meet the supply chain demands. And then the binding, like if you squish it too hard to make sure it stays closed, it gets flat and you can't turn the pages. But if you do it too loose, the whole back will fall off. So like the amount of time it takes to find a manufacturer that speaks exactly the terms of quality that you want is so hard.
So hard.
So
and
hard.
The amount of sampling you have to do to get all those details right, like you're just describing.
So much. People don't have a clue. I mean, these people listening will know, but the general public has no idea what goes yeah. in to getting a quality product in your hands.
And this is why, just to wrap this up with a bow, this is why it's so difficult to manufacture these products in the United States.
Yes.
We don't have the infrastructure here for the factories, the equipment, the labor. We don't have those options. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, I do. Okay. So I want to share an analogy with your listeners that I want them to like take this and use it when someone asks, why do you produce overseas? It has been explained to me by some of our manufacturers that in China, and I've not been there, let me put it that way, but I've not been there, but I do understand how it works. It is like a cul-de-sac, okay? Imagine your neighborhood and there's a cul-de-sac, and around the cul-de-sac you have houses and they're all neighbors. Well, in these special districts in China, there are districts or cul-de-sacs that specialize in fashion or in print production or whatever. Let's take fashion, for example. So you have your houses around the cul-de-sac, which means factories near each other. One of them will be doing sewing. One's doing zippers. One's mm-hmm. doing the tags. One's doing packaging. One's doing buttons. So for our planners, we have like different specializations. Somebody's doing the binding. Some's doing the gold corners and all that. And because they're in a cul-de-sac or a district, the supply chain is there. They're able to get the best of the best people doing the best, most important things. And so you get a really top-notch product. We don't have that because decades ago, we decided global trade matters, which it does, and specialization and having people be the best at what they're best at matters. And so let's be a world population and work with each other.
Yes.
We don't have it here.
We don't have it here.
And if we did, I would make it here, but we don't.
Even to those saying, well, we will have it in the future. We don't know that. We don't know how long or who's going to invest in that or who's going to.
Where are the incentives for that to happen? Who's going to work at these places? I mean, someone told me the other day, I think it was a reporter I was talking to, that there are hundreds of thousands of labor jobs open in the United States and no one works them. And like, oh, Lord, I've been talking about this. Like, I just want to yell and throw things, seriously, because it is so complex and so nuanced, and people just don't understand that if we want to create that infrastructure in the United States, it would take trillions of dollars. It would take tons of human resources and people invested in it and space. Mm-hmm. I mean, where do we put these places? And yep. how do we make things here? My husband and I, we co-own 8 businesses. One of them is a coffee shop in Lakeland. It's called Concord. If you live there, you should go. We can't make coffee in the United States. It's grown in a tropical climate.
Yes.
So it has been a fun time the last 13 days over here trying to figure out how to navigate tariffs.
Okay, so I want to talk about this because you shared on Instagram that your business has paid over $1.17 million in tariffs since 2017. So that was 2017 to 2024, is that correct?
That's right, yep.
And you personally wrote those checks to the government.
Signed them, signed the checks. I love to say that when someone's like, China's paying the tariff. No, they're not.
No, we are. We are right. The business owners.
Yeah.
So okay, with Trump's new administration, new tariffs, you are going to be paying significantly more in 2025. When these were first announced, we thought it was 45%, and you had shared that you projected that would be another $350,000 that your business would be paying.
Yep.
But since then, we have received notice that you're at 150% tariffs just from the U.S. side. We're not even talking retaliatory stuff going on right now, which would project you to be at over $1 million in tariffs this year alone.
Yeah.
What went through your head as you watched these tariff rates climb and shift every day?
Do we live in the upside down world? Like, what is happening? I mean, my husband and I, he's very financially minded and very gifted in that arena. And he was like, it could be 8 billion% at this point. Like, it's not doable. It is going to absolutely tank so many American dreams. Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely, like, no one is saying, okay, here's all these tariffs. We want you to come and make your stuff in the United States. No one is saying, here's the tax breaks or incentives for people to decide, like, I'm going to build a factory or whatever. There's none of that. How do we pay $1 million in tariffs and also build a factory or five here? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just the lack of planning. As someone who loves the plan, the lack of a plan here is insane. And I say that not as a partisan thing and backing out the politics of all of this, which is a whole other conversation, looking at this as a right or wrong, as a, this is chaos. How does this solve anything? It is truly crazy. And I think what we're seeing now is people on every side of every political aisle are coming out and saying, this is not a good idea. My husband is like, I'm a registered Democrat. He's a registered Republican. And he follows a lot of very conservative financial people on the internet. And he's like, when those guys start saying that this is problematic and these guys are saying it's problematic and everyone's in agreement, this is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
It led to, I mean, you mentioned the last 13 days have been bananas as we're recording this. And I can't tell you how many panicked messages I've received from folks who are like, what do I do? Today it's 25%. The next day it's 45%. Now it's 150. Like, I mean, it is causing paralysis in a lot of folks. Again, I've been working with product brands about how to navigate this situation, and everyone's circumstances are a little bit different. Many are raising prices. Many are discontinuing production on items that are done overseas. I have some clients who are holding shipments in China, and their Chinese factories are agreeing to just store them for a little bit until we can figure this out because they can't afford the 150% tariffs. And then, of course, you've got folks that are looking for alternative manufacturing options. I'm sure you have weighed all of these options and more, but you have also decided to take a different route, which is to fight against these tariffs. So for those that aren't aware, earlier this month, you filed a lawsuit challenging President Trump's tariff. It's Simplified v. Trump, if anyone wants to look it up. And you are fighting this with the support of New Civil Liberties Alliance. I want to know more. How did you team up with New Civil Liberties Alliance? And honestly, how did you find the courage to take on the U.S. government like this?
If anybody that listens to this does needlepoint, I would really like to purchase a pillow for my office chair that says Simplified v. Trump. It was not on my bingo card to sue the president this year. Really, what happened is I've always been a writer at heart. It's like my biggest passion. And one evening, I just was so fed up with reading all of this misinformation on the internet, people talking about who pays the tariffs. And I just decided to like go on Canva on my phone while I was sitting on the couch and just wrote, feelings aside, in a factual way, how much my company has paid in tariffs, what's at stake, jobs, big charitable contributions that we make, mm-hmm. the company, price increases. I just laid it out in a very factual way and said, I signed the checks and this is not doable. This is not sustainable. I posted it on Instagram and it quickly went a little wild, like shared everywhere, started getting like media inquiries because companies just weren't sharing this stuff. Like mm-hmm. everyone was kind of quiet about it. I think because they were afraid of retribution, but also of like stepping in the mud and the comment section and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I dealt with internet trolls for almost 20 years. Like I can handle them. So I posted that. The NCLA reached out to me. The NCLA is the New Civil Liberties Alliance. They are a nonpartisan group out of Washington, D.C., a law firm that specializes in government overreach. And so basically it's when the government isn't following the law in implementing things. And they called me. We got on a lot of calls and they explained what I already knew about the fact that in 2017, when these tariffs were implemented, the president involved Congress. So we had the opportunity to make our voices heard to our state senators and representatives who would then meet and make a decision on if they supported this or not. And that is why the 2017 tariffs took 8, 10, and 11 months to implement. This time, he did not do that. He used some emergency lever that's never been done before with tariffs and said, I'm doing it without Congress. I'm implementing tariffs. Today, they're 25%. Tomorrow, they're 45%. Then it's 150%. And the new Civil Liberties Alliance is like, it is very clear in the Constitution that there are checks and balances and that Congress should be involved. They're not even like pro or anti-tariffs or pro-Trump or anti-Trump. They are like, we're pro-Constitution. This is what we see, and we would like to offer our services pro bono, thank God, and represent you in this. And they're like, we've talked with other businesses and their CEOs won't do it. They won't stand up. They won't make their voices heard. And you're making your voice heard. And we want to represent you. And I, you know, many, many conversations, I did not take that lightly. Like, putting a target on your back is pretty scary. And so my husband and I were both like, no, we're going to do it. And so we did. And then on April 3rd, I was on an airplane going to a conference to speak at in Orlando when the civil complaint was filed. And then the press release hit the wire. And when I tell you, I've never in my life, like every media outlet that exists was in my inbox. By God's grace, my publicist was at this conference with me. Like, she was just going to attend and like be there. And she helped me navigate this insane press. And I mean, I DoorDashed a webcam to a hotel room in Orlando so that I could take like MSNBC like 5 minutes later. It was nuts. But yeah, you asked about what gives you the courage to do this kind of thing. Everybody listening to this will know this. When you're a small business owner, you have a grit inside you, a scrappiness that we know. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I will fight. When I love something and I believe in it, like I do my company and the 8 women who work with me, I will absolutely go down swinging. So I am not afraid of him. I am not afraid of the government. I believe in our government, and I believe we will win this lawsuit and the tariffs will get knocked down. Now, will he then decide to go about it the proper way and we'll end up paying them anyway? I don't know, maybe. But when it comes to this whole thing, it's really not left or right. It's, to borrow Senator Booker's words, it is right or wrong, you know?
Yep. You're getting yourself into some good trouble. I like
it. That's right.
I like it. That's an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I was like, how in the world did this all come to be?
Right.
Well, and also, you know this, because I worked in the legal industry for a long time. I wasn't a lawyer. I worked in business development, marketing and stuff. So I've been paying attention to what's going on with the law firms right now, and there's a lot there. So to hear this is really encouraging that there are folks standing up and encouraging others to stand up and facilitating ways for you to stand up too.
Yeah.
So what's this process going to look like for the lawsuit? What are you hoping to achieve? And I mean, it's not going to be a short process, I assume.
You know what's funny? I actually had a meeting with the attorneys this morning to kind of get updated on where things stand. And since we filed, 2 additional lawsuits have been filed, kind of going like a different way. They're arguing different things, but in a similar sense, like that these tariffs were not implemented properly. So that's exciting, because the more of us out there that are fighting, the better. It's been kind of made clear to me this is going to be a paperwork thing. Like, there's just a lot of papers involved in legal stuff. I don't envision us like being in a courtroom together. I don't really know how it plays out. But at this point, we have filed our complaint. The government, the defendants, if you will file their response. And as with most things government related, it will take a long time. But as of the 9th, I think it was, the Department of Justice filed something saying that they wanted this taken to an international trade court rather than the North Florida court where it was filed, which is where I am. And the reason for that is, from what I understand, is that an international trade court decides things like tariff cases, where people will say, you know, this type of steel that I'm paying a tariff on should be exempt or whatever. They don't decide things about it was the law followed. And so we are saying, no, this needs to stay in this court. So now we're kind of in this back and forth on that. But as far as I know, we should be hearing a response sometime soon. And we expect that the case will actually hopefully move pretty quick.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but when you're taking a stand and fighting for something like this that's so public and you're being brave to do so, it does open you up to praise and support. but also criticism and opinions of the public. I know that I've had my fair share of trolls over the years, people that disagree with my choices I've made, and it's been hard to manage that at a smaller scale than what you've been navigating. But how are you handling that? Are you okay? Are you doing all right?
Thank you for asking. You know, first and foremost, that was my worry when I was making the decision to sign on to this. And I had a lot of conversations with Brian, my husband, and with our kids. I have a teenager now, he's 14, and I have two, my twins are 10, boy-girl twins. And then I had conversations with my mom and dad. Like, I just wanted to like take the temperature and see if I had the support I thought I had. Unbelievably strong support from all of them. And then from my team too, because when you speak out on things other than how to organize a junk drawer and how to use color coding stickers in your planner, opinions are thrown around. And also people these days are, and I think this is important to note, people are spending, they're aligning their dollars with their hearts and with their values. And so there was the risk of losing customers and also gaining customers. And so that was something we had to take into consideration as well. Had great conversations with all of those people and then decided to do this. And the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And overwhelmingly positive from all political affiliations or beliefs. I think we're all seeing how these tariffs are going to impact our wallets and our homes and our kids and our livelihoods, jobs at risk and that sort of thing. So I can't even keep up with my DMs on Instagram, the sheer number of people who are like every day, just checking on you, sending you energy, like so much media has happened. And it's just been really positive. I mean, I had one reporter, I think I've done like 25, maybe more, like live TV national news interviews. I had one reporter that tried to bait me in a couple of questions, but that was at 4:20 in the morning because time zones are hard. And I had no patience for him at that moment. So I handled it and it was great. But other than that, yes, as with anything, there are people who refuse to see the bigger picture, who really like arguing on the internet. And as I've gotten older, I've learned like there's no point in arguing with people on the internet. So I always just say like, this is not my thing. Arguing with people on the internet is not my thing.
Yeah, same.
And I just leave it at that. I also just, if I really feel strongly about something someone's saying, and this has happened a couple of times, especially on Facebook, Lord, it's always Facebook. There have been a couple of times where I have written very measured, factual, non-emotional responses, mm-hmm. just because I want my response to live publicly out there. But other than that, I just kind of stay out of it.
I don't know.
It's not worth it.
That's good advice for a lot of folks.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like the best response, if you're not going to ignore it, is a really non-emotional, highly respectful comment, because then they just look dumb,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And like, honestly, we're not going to change each other's minds on the internet.
No, we're not. We're having conversations perhaps, but not
absolutely
not being mean on the internet. No.
No.
I was going to ask you too, when you were making this decision to file the complaint, did you worry about what your customer base would think or how that might negatively impact your sales, your business, your team? And you mentioned that, yes, you thought about it and talked to them. I'm glad to hear the feedback has been positive. Have you seen a growth in sales from like speaking out?
We've seen a lot of new customers, which
okay.
is kind of that aligning your hearts with your dollars thing or your values with your dollars thing. We've not seen any kind of like massive spike in all the media. I kind of wondered like if we would, but we have not. I will say, I really believe that it feels like a couple years ago, it was very much like, well, who did you vote for? And okay, well, if you voted for that one or that one, like, I don't like you and I'm not following you anymore. It doesn't feel like that anymore. I think just because of the climate we're in, it feels like everyone's kind of a little scared about what's happening, and especially financially. So luckily, it's not been too crazy. Yeah.
Good. You know, the government has said that one of their goals with these tariffs is to bring manufacturing back to the United States. And I know we've kind of alluded to this already, but do you plan to bring manufacturing back to the United States?
No. Like if somebody else wants to and wants to offer like their phone number for me to call and discuss how to make a planner, that'd be great. No, that would take so much capital. And like, I have 9 women who are like working to the max right now, keeping this multi-million dollar company afloat. Like we should have way more employees than we have, but we're small but mighty and we like it that way. I will say, I'm not opposed to getting scrappy and like filling holes where I see one. We co-own a 3PL because our fulfillment company was terrible, that we were like so bad. And we had warehouse space in one of the other companies that we're part of. And so we started a fulfillment company. And so I'm not opposed to that, but at this stage in the game, mm-mm.
Yeah.
By the way, if there was manufacturing here, I would love to know about it. I would love to.
Yeah. Well, it would be the best kept secret in
truly.
So. Well, what do you wish that policymakers and just the general public understood about how these tariffs are hitting small businesses?
I think that it is so important to listen to the people who are standing up and speaking up right now about the realities. You know, you have Apple, for example, like they got some exemption, it sounds like, and there's a lot of dollars being exchanged in, you know, support of different political parties and like who's getting what and who gets special favors and things. And like small businesses like ours, we don't have that kind of pull. We also don't have the ability to pivot as quickly as some of the larger businesses. And granted, like these tariffs are going to impact them in terrible ways as well. So not to take that away, but they just, they're at a different place and they're able to do different things that we're not. And so I do think these tariffs are going to impact small businesses, especially in a way bigger way than we're going to see them hit larger businesses, because the larger businesses may not have to shut their doors mm-hmm. when we start paying them. I'm expecting a straggler shipment that most of our stuff arrives in January, but I'm expecting a shipment here in the next couple of weeks that I'm going to have to pay who knows what on. Mm-hmm. You know? It's already starting.
It is starting. I guess that kind of leads well into my last question here. What changes are you making at Simplified, whether that's, you know, your team, your pricing, your product, to offset these challenges? Because you're fighting the good fight here with this lawsuit, but also you need to make changes now to sustain.
Totally. Totally. I have a team who's, like I said, like so scrappy. And so we are looking at how do we increase revenue? How do we decrease expenses? We're having conversations with every service provider that we are paying. We're looking at paid advertising. Like, do we need to be spending this much? And we're looking at roles on our team. And I hate to even say that. It's awful. It's awful. But we're looking at like, can we decrease? Can we consolidate? Can we do that? You know, and then also raising prices. We're also, you know, obviously the biggest thing is we're looking at other manufacturers outside of China, because I don't think trade war is going to end anytime soon. And I hate that, because the two that we work with have certifications from massive companies that they produce for. I mean, they're producing for like Target and Disney. They're required to have these certifications about ethics and the way they treat their team members and the way that they pay them and that kind of thing. And I feel so good knowing that we are with manufacturers who really take care of them and the people that are making our products. And that's so important to me, the idea of having to go through all of those quality pieces we talked about earlier and all of that, like vetting them in a million ways in countries that I don't even know if I can tell you where they are on a map. Like, I lose sleep over that, but I also don't know what else to do.
Yeah. I think it's helpful for our listeners to hear that a business at your level, at your scale, is grappling with the same exact questions that they are having, even at a smaller scale. And I also want to point out to everyone listening, there's no one solution that is for everyone, right? Like, everyone's going to have unique circumstances, and we have to bring that into our choices that we're making for our own brands. So, you know, Emily, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for standing up, speaking out, fighting this administration on behalf of Simplified, but also on behalf of all product-based businesses. I also want you to know that you have an incredible community backing you up, ready to amplify your message, support the work you're doing. We're here for you. So just thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. And I will say, if I could leave you with like a little encouragement, or your listeners with a little encouragement. Number one, shop small. I can't tell you last time I placed an Amazon order. I'm trying. I'm not perfect at it. I'm trying to like be cognizant about when I spend money, like where is it going? Number two, I am always going to be that person that believes that the best thing that could happen is going to happen. And I really believe we're going to all be okay. I think it's going to be really painful for a while. We're going to have to make some hard choices. But I think in the end, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep pushing. It's going to be all right. I owned a planner company during COVID when everyone's plans got canceled. And if we can survive that, we can survive what's happening right now. It just might mean that we have to pivot, at least for a time being. But if anybody can do it, it's the people who have built stuff from scratch. And so don't count yourself out.
Yes, I love that advice. I was sharing on Threads the other day. I was like, friends, I started my first business, my product-based business in 2008 in the height of this recession.
Literally, me too, right?
Yes. And then I made it through COVID. And then I made it through this. Like, we will get through this. I'm not saying
we'll get through this. Yeah.
I'm not trying to discount the pain we're feeling right now at all. Like, feel your feelings, but also pick yourself up and keep going, because those that continue to show up will survive this. They'll be in business later. Yeah. So
got to keep pushing forward.
Exactly. Well, Emily, share with folks, point them to where they can learn about your lawsuit and follow along as things progress. And then I want you to share your Simplified link so folks can follow you there too.
Yeah. So Simplified is at emilylay.com, and then also on Instagram at Simplified. And then you can find me on Instagram. I'm most active there, and on Threads. Threads is fun. At emilylay. And then I'm writing a lot on Substack too. You can just search my name over there.
Awesome. We'll put all those links in the show notes so folks can easily find you. But Emily, thanks for being here. We appreciate you and all you're doing.
I appreciate you.
It was so good to catch up with Emily, and I hope you enjoyed hearing her story and learning about what she's doing. Truly, Emily, thank you for standing up, for speaking out, and fighting not just for Simplified, but for all of us who are trying to build sustainable businesses in a system that often feels stacked against us like it does right now. And friends listening, if you are feeling like you need a safe space to talk through these challenges, maybe you want to get some advice or just have solidarity with other business owners, our Labs community is here for you. Whether you are weighing price increases or exploring new manufacturing partners, or you just want to be surrounded by other people who understand what you're going through on a day-to-day basis, I get that. That's why we created Labs. We're having real conversations about how these tariffs are affecting us. So we're working together to find paths forward, solutions, and community is just so incredibly important right now. So join us at prooftoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. We'd love to welcome you and have you join us. Thank you so much for listening until the end. I hope today's episode was not only informative, but impactful for you. And if you did enjoy it, please share it with a friend and tag me on social if you do, and I'll try to reshare it too. All right, friends, have a great rest of your week. I'll talk to you soon.